Many years ago, I visited a woman in the hospital because of complications from chronic lung disease and heart failure. As I entered the room, I immediately noticed another woman there massaging cream into her feet. It was her sister. My father used to sit on the couch at the end of a long day, half asleep, rubbing my mother's feet. On occasion, in years not too long ago, as my mother grew increasingly unable to do things for herself, when I visited, she would sometimes ask me to cut her toenails. Somehow, the handling of another person's feet seems very personal and intimate. That's why today's gospel, the gospel reading appointed for Maundy Thursday, not the words of institution of the Lord's Supper, this is my body, this is my blood, but the account of Jesus washing his feet makes many people very uncomfortable. I've served in churches that practiced foot washing on Maundy Thursday. No doubt there will be reports in the newspapers about Pope Francis washing feet today. In many traditions, those in authority, the Pope, the bishop, the priest, wash the feet of his or her staff and congregation. Sometimes this is merely ceremonial or ritual, with a few designated persons having their feet washed, and sometimes it's open to anybody and everybody. Well, washing the feet of a subordinate might instill humility in the person in authority. It might also engender pride. Look, I'm doing what Jesus did. Just like Jesus, I'm washing the feet of those people I have authority over. Aren't I good? Well, in order to avoid this trap, some churches practice foot washing more broadly. After the priest washes a couple of people's feet, those whose feet have been washed themselves wash others' feet. And when practiced in this way, foot washing can drive home some strong messages of equality, humility, and gratitude. Still, no matter how it's done, in my experience, Episcopalians are not very comfortable with foot washing in church, which is why in the 10 plus years I've been here, we have not done it. I mean, things go through your mind. What about my hose or my socks? They might have runs or holes in them. My feet stink. I can't possibly do this. I don't want anybody to see my bunions, my warts, my hammer toes. Oh, we'll be happy to expose our feet in sandals in the summertime or on the beach, but having another person, a non-family member, handle our feet? Well, that's just a little too intimate, a little too close for comfort. So how are we to understand what Jesus does this night? When he strips off his outer garments and wraps a towel around his waist and kneels at the feet of his disciples, his friends, when he washes their feet, when he says to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Well, if we're not to literally wash each other's feet, how do we follow his example? Certainly we are to love one another, but Jesus' action and commandment go beyond politeness and abstract love. Jesus demonstrates love very intimately, washing the feet of his disciples. Might that suggest that we must willingly humble ourselves for the well-being of another? Might Jesus be calling us to rub salve into the feet of people wounded by life, the world, hate? Might Jesus' commandment to love one another as he has loved us require us to leave our societally defined roles in order to help another child of God, another person? Lest we believe that only Jesus was capable of such self-sacrificial love, note that John introduces the foot washing in this way. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table and began to wash his disciples' feet, knowing who he was. Because Jesus knew who he was, the Son of God, because Jesus understood the work God had called him to do, he was able to wash feet, to endure the crucifixion, and even to die in order to draw the world back into relationship with its Creator. Because we know who we are, part of the body of Christ by virtue of our baptism, because we know the work God has called us to do, to love God with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength and our neighbors as ourselves, because we know who we are and the work we are called to do, and because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can keep Jesus' commandment and love one another as he has loved us.